it. So, good evening. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. This is November 7th, 2018. Just as a note, we have an addition on our Diaz tonight. Our CFO, Greg Della Pia, has joined us. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our men and women in the services. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first order of business is the presentation of the minutes from the regular and executive session meeting of October 17th, 2018. If everyone has had a chance to review them, if there's any discussion on the minutes or a motion to accept the minutes?
Do you want them together? One motion?
Yep.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the executive and regular committee meeting minutes for October 17th.
Second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. And the next item of business is public comments. Just to remind everyone, these meetings are recorded and posted on the website. The first public comment is limited to agenda items only, but also reminding you we have two public hearings tonight for each of the two public hearings on the ordinances that are before us. So I would suggest that we defer comments specific to the ordinances to those public comment period. Is there a motion to open a public comment?
I'll
make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. If anyone would like to make a comment about the agenda items, seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next on the agenda would be a presentation by Assemblyman Eric Peterson. I spoke to him today to confirm he's coming, but seeing that he's not here and given that his comments and discussion would relate to a resolution that's scheduled further down the agenda, I would suggest we move on to the ordinances that are on the agenda tonight. Mm-hmm. So the first ordinance is 2018 number 10. This is the ordinance establishing the Historian Committee, and normally we would go straight into a public hearing. But the committee received some comments from Committeewoman Kohler yesterday, and I think we should, for the sake of the public, make any amendments to what's been published to the public and then go into the public hearing. So with that, I'd like me to lead it through, I think, since there are your comments.
Yeah, I'll just lead it through. I mean, I just had a couple of comments because I wanted to tighten up the roles between the volunteers and the curator. And I also looked at the Parks Commission's ordinance, and I added a few things like composition terms. The Historian Committee is an advisory council that shall consist of 9 members. Now, I'm not sure if the 9 members is right, but Parks has that in theirs.
Well, that was done because we couldn't create a park committee. There's a statute says we can have a park and rec, and we separated the groups. So we created rec, and we created a separate park. But you can only create that as an advisory committee.
Yeah, they're statutorily different.
Right.
Okay.
And historians
and their powers. If there is a park committee or commission, so it's a distinction.
There's no point I see as this having that advisory council wordage because historian committee exists within that in the statute 40. I believe it's 40.
And I think we can accomplish the point or discuss the point later, but I think here it's just to set up that it's 9 members. So if it's right here, we can pick it up.
Okay. And then I also, and we can talk about that later, you're right. Under D in that area, in the event of any vacancies, I just added of regular or alternate members, once again, only because I saw it in the parks, and I think
I would note in this, we're not establishing any alternates in the Historian Committee.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
That's not.
All right, so you're just going to have regular.
Yes.
But I think that's, in the event of any vacancies, I don't know. My view is it's redundant to say vacancies up regular, they're just any vacancies.
Okay, so there aren't going to be any alternates?
No.
Not unless we amend this ordinance.
Okay.
It's just 9 members.
Okay. Let me get rid of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think we would need any alternates for that.
I wouldn't see any.
Okay. Then, under the powers, I just felt that it was the volunteers are very closely tied to the employees in here, and I just figure a conflict could occur. So what I wanted to do was say, remove the language that says, but are concurrent and equal powers and duties with the intent that. So in other words, what it's saying here is the Township of Lebanon may employ a museum curator, an assistant curator, other staff to perform the duties related to historical activities, and the powers and duties of the historian committee shall not supersede the powers and duties of any township employee, but are concurrent and equal powers and duties with the intent that. That statement, I was not happy with that statement because I think it kind of blurs the line between the employees and the volunteers. And again, you have to think about the employees in this particular capacity are going to be CWA. And I don't even know if you can do this, but I would hate to see the CWA file a grievance against a volunteer if something were to be a conflict. And, you know, we can take the next one after you think that one through. I mean, considering it's an ordinance and people will refer to it, I think...
So how would you change the wording?
I would get rid of, like I have a cross out there that on the words, but are concurrent and equal powers and duties with the intent that, because that language makes it look like the volunteers and the employees are total equals.
I mean, which was the way it's drafted.
Right.
So that's a change, which is...
I mean, I'm fine as long as you take that out. And then what I did was I went further down because I could see a potential conflict happening. And I said any unresolved conflicts or unresolved complex matters shall be escalated to the clerk and or township committee for a resolution as appropriate.
And I would agree that a resolution, a conflict resolution clause is a good thing to add.
Mm-hmm.
I would only suggest that I don't think we put the clerk in a position of dispute resolution typically.
But she's super... Well, okay, we could just have the township committee. She's supervisory, to the...
Right.
So you got the CWA, you have the clerk,
but
you have
us. But she's not supervisor of the historian committee.
No, but she is of the employees, and that's what I'm saying. This is so muddied right now. I could see this becoming a...
But I think because of this scenario, if somewhere there's a conflict between our curator that this committee, when it next committee hires, and the historians are essentially extension of this committee, I'd say that any major conflict they would have would come back to us. I don't think that's a position that we should put the clerk into to try to deal with an employee problem, but if it's because of it's a
I'm good with that. So we'll just take
escalated it. Escalated to the township committee.
Right, and I mean, I put the complex matters in there just in case it's not just a conflict. It could be some kind of a complex. I mean, we don't even need to have that, but let's leave it for now.
Well, so there's no for now. This is
well, whatever. How does everybody feel about complex matters?
I look at the attorney, and I
don't like the escalated. It could be a softer position there, you know. That the unresolved matters we brought to the township committee
referred to.
I like referred to.
So how about I think we were talking over. There was a suggestion to just not highlight conflicts, but any unresolved matters.
Yeah, the
which could be conflicts, could be
I could
any unresolved matters.
Right. I could live with that.
Shall
be referred to the township committee for resolution as appropriate? Or do we even need to say that? Just get rid of as appropriate.
I think we could, just as resolution.
Period.
So just backing up, does the committee have a position on striking out concurrent and equal powers and duties?
I think it's a good idea to strike it out, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think this becomes redundant to some extent then as, you know, because it's separate, the curator's duties are going to be developed in our what we're developing when we hire the curator and what their role and responsibilities are. This is more the role and responsibilities of the historians.
I think right before the sentence before, kind of explains that they're not to supersede the powers of the township employee. So I think it's fine.
So that's struck. Okay.
And then we can, because we already talked about the advisory role, we can strike it in this sentence too. Mm-hmm. And if you want, because you took out the one I wanted to have struck out there, you can take out that word offering direction.
Yeah.
Because I think that was, if you didn't take that sentence out, I wanted to soften the that you know, they're working collaboratively. It's not that one is giving the direction to the curator or the other. So.
And I personally appreciate that because I think, given that we published this to the public, I think the less we change, the less the public comment would be.
Right. And Matt looked this stuff over. He said that we could do this without going to a second
hearing. Well, just to be clear, I said there is, for things that aren't substantive. And,
right.
And until you guys are done doing what you're doing, I don't want to be completely clear on that, whether we can or we can't. It's just if they're right now, there's amplification or striking of conflicting language. It's really just a cleaning it up. We haven't changed the direction of the document at this point.
Right.
You guys keep going.
No, we're not going to.
Okay.
No,
all right.
Believe me, this is going to stay right where it is. We're not going to go get any bigger than this. I added the word. It used to say the historian committee will establish policy for accepting donations of historical artifacts. But I wanted to say the historian committee and museum curator, I don't know how you feel about that.
Again, in the interest of the fact that we've already published it this way, I would suggest that the museum curator's role could be dealt with in the description of that position.
Mm. And I think the historical committee is going to kind of establish the policy on what they want to see in the museum and what would be willing to be donated, and that's going to be transferred. That information would be transferred to the curator as to what the intent of the museum is going to be. So I think the committee is made up of people who live in this town, where the museum curator may not necessarily live in this town. So I think it's key that I think we keep that focus here.
Okay. Well, and I think it's good because it comes back to the township committee for anything in excess over $2,000.
Exactly.
So we're gonna have a say. So we can strike the curator out of there. The next one was D, related to the public education of history. It talks about the historian committee may advertise, prepare, print, distribute books, maps, charts, blah blah blah. I just wanted to tighten that up to make sure that proper purchasing policy is followed. And also that we get final legal approval on items. It's just a good step to make sure that legal approval comes through on some final items that you might want to put out there that's representing the township.
Don't you think it should come to the township committee first and then to legal?
Well,
because we're expending funds without coming through the committee here.
I think it's whatever.
First of all, I think I defer to Matt as our attorney. I think putting in an ordinance that they'll follow established procedures, it feels redundant to me. You know, we already have an ordinance that says they have to follow it. Now we're putting it again in this one. So I'm not sure that's necessary, but maybe the more important point, I think we have to give direction. For example, they recently had a historical walk with historic houses in New Hampton. Do we want to control this committee to the point where they have to show us a rough draft, and maybe they have to show us a rough draft two meetings before that event in case we suggest amendments and then we get final approval? Or can they print an historical map? I would view that what we're looking for is an extension of this committee to maximize the ability of the community, and I think there are a lot of places where we wouldn't have an opinion on how they describe an historic house. And then it all flows as well. Do we want to approve every ad for every recreation department walk? So I think it's too open-ended now to say that everything, they'll obtain approval prior to printing and distribution.
Well, it's more about just consistency within the different groups, the different commissions, and because some are able to go out, it seems like, and do things without coming back for approvals, and others are coming to us for approvals. And that's always been a point of contention, and I know that some people want to have a booklet of what are the purchasing procedures. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so
that's a policies thing. But, there's also a lot of these different groups have different rights based on what they are. Like, we have Environmental Open Space Commission. That's a commission is completely different than a committee, and a committee is completely different than a council. So they have different rules based on what they are and what they can do within those rules. So it's I don't think I want to sit there and review printed materials that these people are going to, you know, we're appointing them, you know, as a committee to say these are people that we want to represent our town for, you know, as historians, and I think we have to entrust to some extent that they're going to put out materials that are going to be accurate.
Would you ever, what about, I don't know if this would ever be the case, but if there were ever to be a situation where they put something out on township letterhead, would you want to see that?
Mm-hmm. My question is whether that can be handled with policies versus trying to solve the language in the ordinance for how to do it. I mean, each committee has a liaison, each committee, commission, the liaison. For example, if they're going to publish a 400-page book for a big amount of money, mm-hmm. it's going to be above their purchasing authority. Mm-hmm. So that obviously comes here. If it's a one-page handout, I think my view is we could solve that with policy rather than in the ordinance.
Well, you see this. Now, you just raise a good point, because when you say here, this is what threw me. It's like, which in its judgment it deems necessary for its purposes. So if they put a 400-page book out there and you don't have any restrictions on them, then it's shame on us if they go out there and do it and they didn't know they needed to come back here first.
I just think there are procedures in place that would already control it.
Matt, could you weigh in on that?
Weigh in on the issue of whether or not they need your approval. I mean, that's...
Well, can policy and procedures go alongside the ordinance, or do those policies and procedures need to be...
Yeah, I mean, they're only going to have the authority that you dictate, and you know, whether it be via policy or ordinance.
Do you think it hurts to put some parameters?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any legal significance as to whether or not it's done in either fashion. I don't know if... you know, it really is of any differing impact. So it's really that it's your call, so to speak. The board's call is to how to impose those restrictions.
You know, and that, my concern here is we're establishing something here that we don't have for any other group. And I'd rather see us if this is something that's important, then we sit down, we find the time to create the procedure and the policy, because mm-hmm. we can easily every year tweak a policy.
Okay.
You can't every year tweak an ordinance.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We can do that.
Yeah, the rigidity of the ordinance is can be a friend and a foe, as Mark has pointed out.
All
so.
Right. Well, all right. So we can scratch that and then deal with that for the future.
And I would have a similar comment to the next one, that to say that they have to act to the extent possible within the confines of the law, I think mm-hmm. that's... redundant, goes without saying.
Well, yeah, I'm just, it's great language, but I feel sometimes it'd be overzealousness if you don't put something in there to remind people that there are limitations to the overzealousness of certain things, and that you should at least step back and think about what you're doing. And maybe it's, I don't know, like maybe Matt, you have better wording than to the extent possible within the confines of the law. I'm not a lawyer. I just threw that in there.
Well, I think it's implicit that everything we as a group, the town, and the entities mm-hmm. that draw their authority from us were constrained by local, state, and federal law. So whether you feel the need to assert that, that's up to you guys. I mean, but obviously none of our entities are immune from that, whether we state it or not.
What I'm trying to avoid is somebody saying, see, I have this here. It says I can do it. So they can do it. There's, you know, no restrictions. So
that's one half of this edit. The other one is, again, interaction subject to committee review and approval. To me, that's too rigid, just like the printing of pamphlets. Mm. If they get contacted by one of our neighboring towns' historical mm-hmm. society and mm-hmm. want to have a joint discussion, this, they would need township committee approval. I think maybe we have policies to try to deal with all the different scenarios, something mm-hmm. that can evolve rather than try to... If this closes the door completely in the ordinance.
Okay, well, I'm willing to... Does anybody else have an opinion on that?
I think it's good the way it is.
Okay.
Although I do agree with the going back up to the powers, those changes I think are good.
No, I guess specifically that last sentence we're talking about.
That's
the one in blue. That's
under E.
E. Yeah, it's powers E.
I mean, if the consensus is to include that, that's fine. If we're not going over and changing too much, like Matt said, that's all.
So you want
debate right here of whether?
Yeah. Do you want to leave a restriction like the sentence that I put in here in this, or should we just strike it? Are you okay with everybody understanding that if they need to stay within the confines of the law, that if it's not stated here, that they will stay within the confines?
I have to say they probably are going to make every attempt to stay within the confines of the law.
Then we strike it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that basically was it. So.
Okay. If I could, without objection from the committee, if I could acknowledge that Assemblyman Peterson has arrived, and as you can tell, we've got a lot of other business going on, and we're more than happy to have you stay, or we're more than happy if you've got a busy schedule to... This would be a nice break point for us if you wanted to...
Sure, if you want.
Gonna? Is that okay? Or
yes, it is okay. Can we just confirm the amendment?
Sure, yeah. We're going to make a motion to amend.
Yeah, the amendment would be in Chapter 83, Section 5, Powers, the first sentence, the verbiage that starts, but are concurrent and equal powers and duties with the intent that would be excised. Mm-hmm. The following sentence would be amended to read, the historian committee shall work with such township employees in their respective assigned duties and coordinate their activities so as not to duplicate or conflict, period. Any unresolved matters or unresolved complex matters shall be referred to the township committee for resolution, period.
I believe we struck complex matters.
We struck that also.
Any unresolved matters.
Mm-hmm. And also excise as appropriate.
Correct.
So that would be the amendment.
So that sentence reads, any unresolved matters shall be referred to the Township Committee for resolution, period.
Right.
So that's the pending amendment.
That's the pending amendment. A motion to accept those amendments to the ordinance?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So we will have a public hearing on this momentarily, but in the interest of Assemblyman Peterson's time. Okay, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, I don't want to disjoint it.
It may take us a little while.
You may regret that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And actually, I should also offer...
usually you go to a township committee meeting and nobody shows up. It's just professionals and maybe somebody who likes to attend because they have insomnia.
They don't have Netflix.
That fits.
Want some water?
I thank you for letting me go. I have not been home before 9:30, 10 o'clock in 3 weeks, so tonight was the first chance I have to do that. And so I actually want to go home and relax, and I have to get to bed at a normal time. So you had asked me to talk about what's known as, there's two different funds that come for the... to municipal governments for from the gas company, sewer company, water company, utilities, electric company, and so forth. So it's tax on the utilities infrastructure within your community. And just to give you a little background, I don't know how much all of you know, but this used to tax it directly. So in your town, you tax it directly, it got paid directly to the town. And then, I guess 1990s, somewhere in early 1990s, the state decided that it would collect the money for you and then redistribute it back to you. And believe it or not, right here in little old Hunterdon County down in West Amwell, there was a woman, I guess she was on the township committee then, she eventually became a freeholder, Nancy Paladino, who fought this. And it was Christy Whitman administration, right, same party, and she had a thing to do, and she convinced the governor that the money wouldn't go into the general fund and then be redistributed. It would go into a separate account held just for the towns and then be distributed. Well, a lot of us have always been a little concerned about that because having the state collect the money first and then redistribute it is the first step to taking it away, to be perfectly honest. And in some towns, it's a lot of money. It's a big part of your budget.
I was just going to ask if I could interject the history. Back in the 1990s when that happened, my understanding is it covered the entire municipal budget and provided money to the school budget. And in the intervening years, and I know there was a step down, today it still accounts for over 40% of our municipal budget. And if you wouldn't mind, because we're looking for your support, just to let people know, because some people don't see the full the picture when they look at their tax bill. So if someone in this town has using a round number for obvious reasons, you'll see in a minute, somebody has an $8,000 property tax bill, the municipal portion of that property tax bill in our town is about $1,000. The energy receipt tax also contributes $1,000 per resident. If that goes away, that typical resident that I'm talking about, their property tax doubles.
On the municipal level,
that's the point. The 1,000 part of it doubles.
Probably the smallest part of your tax bill.
That's what I said. It's 1/8 of the tax bill.
It's your smallest part of your tax bill, but it's the greatest part of what you pay in your tax bill is coming from this fund. So you're not the only town like
not
that.
At all.
Holland Township had a generating plant there. It paid for everything, too, just like here. And more recently, that money has been less, and for various reasons. But as that has become less, the property taxpayer has been making up the difference on that. Well, we started down this dangerous road 20-some years ago, and this year, part of the budget battle was Governor Murphy wanted to take the money now and put it into the general fund and then redistribute it back to the towns. And that was one of the bargaining chips in the, if you remember, the budget impasse that went on this year. And he won. They gave the legislature leadership gave in to that request. Now, the concern is, and it's a good concern, because once that money disappears into the general budget and it becomes part of the general budget, one thing that a lot of people don't understand, and it's a little bit different than what you guys do here, but, not to give you too much of a civics lesson, but, the state constitution sets up the legislature, and basically it puts all the power into the legislature. Now, the executive branch has a role by constitution, as does the judiciary, but the real power is in the legislature. And our budget overrules everything. So when we have a if we pass a statute that says, and we've done this, we're really going to make those pension payments, and then we pass a budget that doesn't make those pension payments, when the unions went to court to say that there was this law that said we had to fund the full pension payment, the court said, but the budget trumps that law, and therefore whatever that law was, that's nice, but the budget really dictates it. And it's a little hard to understand because you would think that there's a set of rules and the budget kind of has to follow it. But the budget is preeminent. So it overrules all the others. As long as it's constitutional, the legislature can do it. As long as we pass it and the governor signs it, it's done. So the fear among some of us is that once this goes into the general budget, we are a constant look for money in this state, anywhere that we can find it, for any purpose that we can find it. And normally we don't do it by economy like you do here, right? You're always looking for savings. How can we do something more efficiently? Do we need to do something? If we don't, we get rid of it because we want the money. That idea, that concept's really kind of foreign to the state government. It's something that I believe in, but it's kind of foreign to the state government. So what ends up happening is they look for revenue instead of economy. And so when this money goes into the general budget, eventually, my fear is that it'll start to be siphoned off. And because if all you have to do is look at, let's be realistic. All you have to do is look at the state income tax, right? That money was all supposed to go to education and property tax relief, right? Well, that's a pretty general, that's a very, very kind of vague notion, right, what that is. And so what we did is we come up with a formula how we're going to fund the schools, but we never fully fund it, although the money's really there. We never fully fund it because there's other interests. And what we say is, hey, look, if we spend the money this way, then your town or your county or your school doesn't have to spend that money. And see, that's property tax relief. Now, you may never have wanted to spend the money on whatever it was in the first place, so it's really not property tax relief to you. But that's how they get away with it. So the concern is that once this money is now no longer segregated, that it's going to go away. And I've had conversations with your township committee here about it, and I'm pretty honest about it because I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't have faith in the leadership that they'll do the right thing for very long because it's about them getting reelected. They don't really care if you get reelected. They don't really care if you pay more in property taxes. What it is about getting them reelected. And so this money will slowly be siphoned off for other things because our reliance on it is important. So as I talk to towns like yours here and in Holland and some other towns, I tell them, don't count on this money. Start coming up with strategies that this money is going to go away because you don't want to wake up one day and have an enormous tax increase just because they cut off the funding right away or they cut off it a little bit and then it all disappears because we have a crisis of some sort at the state. And it does happen. When Governor Christie came in, we had just enough. We didn't have enough money to pay our payroll. And if you remember, what did we do then? And we had to do it because we really weren't going to meet payroll. I think we had 6 weeks of payroll left. So what did we do? We called back money that we gave to schools and other places that hadn't been spent. They hadn't spent it in their budget. We called it back so we could fund what we needed to do. And we cut some things out from the state. If that ever happens, you can be assured this money will be one of the first things that they'll go after because it's low-hanging fruit and it solves the state's problem and leaves it up to you to fix that problem created by a state. Now, there is a what we call a resolution. So the only way that you can beat the budget, if you remember what I had said earlier, the only way you can beat the budget bill is by having a constitutional amendment or in the Constitution itself says you can't do that. That's the only thing the budget can't trump is the Constitution. So one of my colleagues in the Assembly has submitted what we call a concurrent resolution. And it's the resolution basically says that we want to change the Constitution and within the Constitution require that the monies from those taxes on the utilities be distributed the way the percentages that it's currently distributed by Constitution so that the state can't take the money. Fine, it can go in the general fund, but the Constitution says that money has to be divided up according to the way that it's currently divided up. And it also provides, it sets what the dollar amount is this year, and then it has an escalator clause. So there's an index, and every year the index, based on inflation, would go up, and the amount of money that would be constitutionally dedicated to this, to utilities, because once it goes in the general fund, you know, it's who knows how much it was, right? It'll set the amount, it'll send it back out. Now, I signed on to this resolution, or I will be signing one to it. So we, just so you can understand, for me to either submit a bill, excuse me, or to go on a bill as a sponsor, we have to have a quorum call, which means that the legislature's in business that day. Since I decided to go on this bill, when your committee brought it to my attention, we haven't had a quorum call for me to go on it. So I believe we have one, I want to say Monday, but Monday's Veterans Day. The following Monday, I think it is. And I'll be on the bill at that point. So if you go on to the state legislative website, you'll see under there's Assembly Concurrent Resolution. ACR is the abbreviation for 176, and you'll see who's on the bill. Right now, it's two of my colleagues in Burlington County, Ryan Peters and Joe Howarth, and two of my colleagues from up in Sussex County, Howarth and Parker Spates, and I'll be on it as well. Now, the real question is, what are the chances that this will get posted and get voted on and then allowed to you vote on it to change the Constitution? And I'll be honest again, pretty slim, because the folks who control what gets voted on aren't going to let this come up, because they really want to spend that money. We'll get right back to it. Even though it's going to hurt towns in their own districts, they won't do it, because that's not the primary focus on that. You guys probably struggle with COA, right? That's the other big issue here, how much it's going to cost, the impact on your town. And that's a problem throughout the state. And we could very easily pass legislation to make it manageable. I've asked the speaker, I have a bill that says, hey, we look at this, let's base COA on facts, not on some organization that gets paid by builders to build houses, who decides, believe it or not, right? I don't know if you're doing the COA housing, and maybe you don't want to
we're
say done. Anything.
Yeah, we're compliant. We're compliant.
I'll say it. So I attended one of these COA hearings on behalf of a builder as an observer, and it is a shakedown. I mean, you have, and I know I'm off topic. I want people to understand this, because it's really important that you understand what really goes on. It's a shakedown. So you have the special master, you have an individual from this organization, Fair Share Housing. Nobody's elected then. Nobody knows where they get their funding. I mean, we have to assume it's the builders, because who else is going to fund it? And there's no accountability. And they sit there, and literally he says, you know, we were going to make your requirement 134 units, but since you didn't accept that offer the last time we were here, we're thinking 199. Based on what? Nothing. Just based on the, you know, you do it, or we're going to go, and you're going to have a trial. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And on a small town like yours, right, you're at a disadvantage. So what do you do? You know, you try to negotiate something, and then you try to figure out how you're going to do it, right, without mm-hmm. busting the bank. So I have a bill that says, hey, let's look at the census. Census tells you income levels. How many people are low income, moderate, high income in your town? If we think 20% set aside, which is what COA claims is, or what these folks claim is good, let's look at the census data and see who really lives in your town. And if you meet the requirements, you know, 20%, however you're going to do it, then you're compliant. And if you don't, then you have to come up with a plan on how you're going to become compliant. And here's the dirty little secret about that. We did an analysis based on the census, because I wanted to see how my bill would impact towns, and just about every town is compliant. And even if you go someplace like Summit or Rumson, you find that those towns are just about compliant. And Tewksbury, right down the road here, Tewksbury, would be compliant as well. But why do this? Because it's really not about their towns. It's not really about you folks. It's about something else. And that's why it hasn't been done. So when we do this, we want to be out there. We want to show those of us who are on this bill, we want to show that we have a solution. And, you know, I'm hoping that one day people get frustrated enough, not just here in Huntington County, here in Lebanon Township, where we get it, right, but elsewhere start to see it. And maybe they get curious and they go online and take a look to see what's out there, and they come across something like this, and they start wondering why their legislators aren't involved in something like this. And maybe they'll write a letter, and maybe they'll demand it. Maybe they'll get enough people to write letters that grabs attention, and maybe we can change things. Because right now, it's not that way. I get here, we in Huntington County, I get lots of letters. You might even have written to me, and I've written back. But we need to have more people who are willing to get on here and talk about these things. And I think we should talk about this stuff. Anywhere that I can go to talk about these kind of things, I do. Unfortunately, mostly in Huntington County, I'm talking to people who already believe in this and would do it, would support it, and put out the resolutions to it. But it's hard, because there's other places where they don't talk about it. They're afraid to talk about it because there's retribution if they were not to follow what they're supposed to do. So when we look at these things, just be aware of what's going on. When you're at work, when you're out in places, if you raise these kind of issues and talk to people and tell them there's a solution out there, it can't just be me, Bill Spadia, and whoever else out there that talks about it. But if you guys start talking about it and say, you know what, it's our government, we can take it back and we can make it work for us, not the other way around. You really can do it. The fact that you're here tonight tells me that you're all folks who are interested in your government and you want to make sure that it works for the people, and you're taking part in that, and you should be proud of that, because I think that's really, it really is important. And I will say, and just so that you know, I believe in what they're doing. Tonight they had this discussion, an open and frank discussion about an ordinance, and they weren't all in agreement, right? They had some differences. You're going to come up with some other things that you have with it, evidently. But you know what? That's how it should be. And we should be able to talk, and we should have disagreements, and we should be able to debate an ordinance. We should be able to debate a bill, the merits, the good, the bad, what should be changed, what should be added, and we should be able to do it in a civil way where we all come together and we either get a really good ordinance that we can all get behind, or it gets scrapped because we figure it's not what we really want to do. It's not what you want to do. I mean, it's all important that way, because this is your government and you get to decide how it runs. Not they get to do your bidding for you and you trust them with it, but it's your government. And if we do that here, you do it at the county level, you do it at the state level, and you get your encouraged friends to do it, it really does work. And I will tell you, if you have a conscientious representatives, when you write letters or you show up at a meeting and you voice your concerns and what your point of view is on it, they'll listen and weigh it based on what other people come up with and make a decision based on that. And I have to tell you, there's been plenty of times somebody's written me a letter, not those mass form emails that I get. But I've gotten letters from people, and they told me about something from a point of view that, because I've never lived whatever it is, I would never have known. I would never have thought about it. And it's changed how I run into something. There's times where I've introduced legislation because somebody wrote me a letter about something, I thought to myself, you know what? This is a great idea. We should be doing this. It's not something that I am focused in on. It's not something in any of my committees, but it's something good that somebody came up with. And then there's times where I get inundated with correspondence about a bill, and it's not something that I'm, you know, hot on. It's not my cup of tea. In that you have area, you can't. We do everything in the state, right? So you have to focus in on certain areas that is your area of expertise. But I've signed on the bills just because the overwhelming amount of correspondence I've gotten from people regarding a bill and have gone on to it. And that's the power of being able to go to your government official and petition them for something. Now, I get letters, and I know some people think they're in the vast majority on something, and they don't see the other side of it that I get, where I get 10 times the letters, right? And so, you know, not all the time is your something, you know, where you are is in the majority, but we should be responsive to what people want and what the people that we represent and what their needs are. So I encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion, as long as we do it in a civil way. I don't think anybody has a problem with that, right?
No.
And we should be able to do that. And this bill is a perfect example. This will affect every municipality in the state, and we should tell people about what's going on here and get the word out that we need to make sure that the state doesn't take this money, use it, and take it away from the towns and just increase property taxes in a state that already has property taxes that are way too high, that I hear all too often people are leaving because they're just not going to do it anymore. And the other problem is, I see it in the real estate market, housing prices aren't appreciating because taxes are eating up all the appreciation you can have in your things, because people only have so much money to spend. So this is really important to, I think, everybody in the state. So you get the word out. Like I said, I will be a co-sponsor it. Hopefully the next that Monday where we meet again and go through that. I'm going to leave a copy here if anybody wants to take a look at it after you get done your other business that you have. And I'll take any questions anybody has if you want. Does anybody have any?
Anyone from the committee first? Any?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Maybe I'll just, as a preface, coming up later in our agenda, we've got a resolution to support this, and our intention is exactly in line with what you're saying, to try to spray it out to, we plan to provide it to the sponsor of the bill, the governor's office, Senator Doherty, yourself, John DeMaio, our other assemblyman for this district, as well as the Hunterdon County freeholders and the League of Municipalities. This was an issue for
you
them.
You should just make one additional recommendation to that. So this did start through, I guess, this was a draft resolution that you had.
Yes.
I had gotten a copy of it, and I read it, and then I asked about it, and then that's how I got here tonight. I would also, at least the other towns in Hunterdon County, so that they can do their own resolutions as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to go. It's like a lot of things. If we can get a lot of people involved in doing it, other towns, maybe this is something the League of Municipalities, I know that they're...
It was a big issue for them at budget time.
It was a big issue for them on this. If they can get their towns to do this. I don't really think this legislation really is political as far as like party. One party's for it, one party's against it. I think no matter where you live and what party you're in and what your town, which part of your town's in, I think this is an issue that people will care about because there's a direct impact on your property taxes. So I think that if the League of Municipalities can get other towns to do resolutions and send them in, that has an impact, that they can do that. It definitely has an impact. And when you do send resolutions to me, I do read them to see what it is that you're asking about. Because a lot of times things happen that I wouldn't know what the impact would be. We didn't pass a statute. It's a regulation or an interpretation or something in the budget The budget's, you know, like this thick. And quite honestly, there's no way to know everything that's in it. And you're, you know, but it does impact you at the end. And that's a way to bring it about so that there can be some attention to it. Excuse me. And maybe get some relief from it. So, and we're, I know you all know this, but you have any issues, you know, if you contact my office, we've, over the time that I've been in the legislature, we've developed relationships with the different agencies within the state government. We especially have a good relationship with DEP. And anybody who has a child with autism or developmental disability and having trouble navigating, if you know anybody, they're having trouble navigating that, we're changing the way that we're changing the way that you do the providers, right? And you're now contracting yourselves. You get money. It's best. Call my office. We have a great relationship, and we've been able to help a lot of people get through those issues. You know, those kind of things. If you contact them, we've been able to help a lot of people with it. And some of the, you know, and other things that come up that you have to deal with, Treasury and those kind of things. I've approached, when you deal with these issues, is that you approach the agency as, how can we resolve this, and not yelling and screaming. And typically they appreciate that, because evidently other legislators yell and scream at them. And nobody likes to be yelled and screamed at. So we try to work with them to come with outcomes and that are good for everybody. And I think diplomacy gets you a lot further with people than threats and anger. So I just wanted to remind you of that, and I just wanted to put it out to anybody here. My office is in downtown Clinton on the corner of Center Street and Halsted. And so if you need anything, you can just stop in or call or email, and my staff will be more than glad to help you out and get you, you know, at least get you an answer. So no questions? We got a question?
Thank you. The township wants to try to get more awareness of this, I guess, by spreading it out. But you said you're going to introduce it in 2 weeks.
Oh, no, I'm going to go. So I'll be able to be a sponsor. So I have to put in to be a sponsor. The speaker has to sign off agreeing to allow me to be a sponsor. And the only time that I can make the request is when we are, quote, in session, and it's called a quorum call. So they were allowed to do business when there's a majority of legislators that are available for voting. And so we do that on committee days and on voting days.
Is there any benefit to waiting for that quorum after it's introduced in a more...
This bill's already been introduced. The resolution's already been introduced by a colleague of mine. He introduced it in June.
Okay.
He introduced it, I guess, right before the budget bill was debated on. At the end of June. So I guess what he did was he saw it in the budget bill. Probably somebody in one of his towns said something to him, and he put the resolution in.
But as I understand it, I think going to that point, the next step is to get the assembly to vote on it, and the more sponsors, it's nowhere close to a vote now. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's probably been, it has to be assigned to a committee. So the process is you introduce legislation, the speaker then assigns it to a committee. That committee then, the chairman there, can put your bill up for a hearing or not. It could just sit there. There's lots of bills just sitting there doing nothing. If it gets in a committee, then there's a hearing. People can come in for and against it. And then there's a vote, and if it has enough votes to pass out of the committee, then after it goes out of the committee, it goes to the full assembly for a vote, if the speaker is willing to post it. So the speaker has a lot of power. He has the power to decide what committee it go to. He has the power. The chairman of the committee has to get the speaker's approval to post it in his committee. And then, and when it passes out, the speaker determines on whether we're going to vote on it in the assembly. So a very powerful position, because you control the whole process of one half of one third of the state government, and so it's a pretty powerful position for that one person has, and
So what we're trying to do is just not let it die in that stack of bills.
The more people that go on it, the more awareness you get, and the more people can go on it, the better, yeah. And the more bipartisan it is, the better.
Mm-hmm. And so, like in our town, it's $2.5 million. So it goes into a general fund, and they say we need money from that. There's no ratio that say, okay, we're going to equally take 1% from everybody. It potentially could be 10% from us, 1% from. There's no. Yeah, right now, there's nothing to say who it comes from and how they acquire that money that they need.
That's right. It's just however they're going to do it. So it'll all be. So it all gets back to how the budget is actually written, right? So we could say the governor can spend this much money, and at the end, and then whatever's left will be the government. Governor will decide how it goes, or it'll have some kind of formula, or it'll do something, right? So it could be one way one year, a different way another year. It just all matter how the budget is written. Now this year, all the money is being distributed. Mm-hmm. And next year, my guess is all the money will be distributed because the entire assembly is up for re-election. But the next year, nobody's up for re-election at the state level, so there's the possibility that that would be a year that they would do it. And the other time that they would start doing something like that is it may not be until there's a new governor, right? So the governor might not want to sign off on this. So it might not be if Governor Murphy was reelected, he might do it in his second term at some point when it's politically opportune to do it, or when he's done at the end. And there's some legislators that are retiring, and they can get enough to pass it and make it happen, and enough people can vote no who would have a problem if they voted for it. So I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's set up to do it. And so you can't rely on this. It's better to have it set up on how it's going to go by a constitution. And if when you read through this bill, you'll see it's pretty specific about how much, and that it has to follow the same ratio that it currently is, and with the escalator clause on it based on the inflation, basically. So it's a pretty, it makes it hard. There's really no way you could fiddle with it at that point.
What's your support in the Senate?
You know what, I don't know if there's a Senate companion bill, but I would imagine there probably is, and it would be Senator Adiego would be my guess, who is the senator with the two who are the prime sponsors. I didn't
talk to Senate President Sweeney about it.
I haven't. He doesn't often. I've tried to reach out on other issues, and I'm not in the Senate, and I'm just a lowly assemblyman as far as he's concerned. he's pleasant when you're in a setting where he has to deal with you, but this bill, this all just came about just recently. Mm-hmm. Came up, and I, when you guys sent me the draft resolution, and we went through it, and I decided to go on the bill, and I hadn't thought about it. I thought it was a good idea, so I'm going to go on the bill. The Speaker of the Assembly, he's much more accessible, and he's actually a decent person. This is something that when I have an opportunity to speak with them, I'm going to ask them about it. But it's I'd have to get his feel on it. The real way to do it is put pressure on is all the towns that are going to be impacted with this, which is probably every single town, varying impacts. I mean, your town's a bigger impact than some others, but it's going to impact every town, and is to get them to push it as well. You're going to get Senator Daugherty, if there's one in the Senate, is going to go on it, and Assemblyman DeMayo will go on it.
Mm-hmm. He's told us he already is on it, but I don't know if he went through the quorum. But he got on it before me in the last quorum call.
Yeah. This is, I don't know when they pulled this for me, so I'd have a copy. But so we'll all be on it because we all agree on it that it's not a good thing to do, because we just keep taking away. Basically, we keep taking away money from the towns. You get less and less. And
conceptually, going back to the beginning, this is property that's in our town that we used to be able to tax.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
And it's still here, like, but now we can't tax it.
It's not like it's coming from the income tax or the sales tax or the gas tax or anything where it's paid. You know, this is specifically in your town and in your and impacts your town.
Yeah.
And was meant for you to be able to.
Right. It was compensation
to get
at one
compensation.
Time and not aid.
But, this is the only taxpayer that's going to have property that won't. You might one day not get the property tax from, in a sense, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Sure.
If people want to provide you other support, what would be the best timing to help this move this process along? And who would you send it? You know, if residents want to send in letters of support. When you're presenting it at a quorum, you know, get them in
sooner,
keep them going.
No, you know what? It's any time that there's a piece of legislation that you're interested in, if you can get enough people to send letters in on it, but, you know, sending them to me is not going to get you anywhere. And here's the only other problem. A lot of offices, if you don't live in their district, they don't care about your letter. You won't even get a response. You know, it's hard. What you really need to do is it's really kind of a grassroots thing. You need to get people outside the 23rd district to become aware of it and to write their legislators about it. And, you know, I don't know how exactly you do it, but if you can set up a website or do something on Facebook where people can talk about these things, you might be able to get people interested who find something about it. But it's one of those things. It's, you know, sometimes it seems overwhelming, doesn't it? There's just so many different things going on at one time. How do we ever get there? But you know, this is something that if you talk to enough people and you send out resolutions to other towns, the chances are that the League of Municipalities is a great organization that that all the towns belong to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was on the Freehold, we got out of the county organization because they did nothing for us and charged a lot of money, and we were cheap. But the League of Municipalities is really good because they provide not just kind of lobbying efforts, but they provide information and resources to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good organization. If they jump on it, that's your best bet down there, is that if they have something that they think is really important and they start pushing it and meet with legislators. So I'll get the League of Municipalities and the, what's the county one called?
I forget the county organization.
When they have something that their members are really important to them, they'll meet with legislators and go through the bill. And you know that if it's the counties, the 21 counties are behind it, or if it's the league, most of their towns are behind it, and it has an impact on you. And they can tell you what the issues are. It's a good way of lobbying, and it's a good organization for you guys too. Try to push this through with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for all your time.
And everyone's got something to say. That's good. Yep. So I'm going to go home, eat dinner, and watch Netflix, and maybe get to bed before 11. All
right, well, thank you very much for having me out on
it. Thank you.
So, where were we? We are about to go back to the public hearing for the historian's ordinance.
Okay.
And
need a motion to open the public comment then at this point based on this modification?
Yes, we will be discussing the modified version, which I think is close enough, hopefully.
I'll make a motion to open the public comment for the ordinance number 2018-10, Historians Committee.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So at this time, if anyone has comments on the ordinance creating the Historian Committee, you please come up to the table, speak into the microphone, and identify yourself.
Victor Hoffman, Chairman of the Historians. We one time went over your proposal, and we had a few discussions, and I noticed they weren't changed. So at the present time, I'd like to see if we can maybe change those out so that I think it'll read a little bit better and a little easier. And what I'd like to address at the present time is Museum Trust Funds, Section A. So I think it's around the second sentence. It says, this fund shall be used for property related to the operation, improvement, or maintenance of the museum, or property including the acquisition or restoration of historical artifacts. I have trouble with the word shall.
And when you brought that up in the previous discussion, I think, Matt, not to put you totally on the spot, but there's a question here of how to protect that trust fund, and whether the word may is the better protection or the word shall is the better protection. And I think it's a legal question. Tell me if I'm not stating that correctly.
Shall, what I understand shall to mean, means I have no discretion at all. It has to be done. You shall do this, meaning must or have to.
That's accurate. And the it's accurate that you can equate it to must. That is correct.
And the way I'm interpreting that sentence with shall is that the funds can only be used for the purposes.
Right. It doesn't mean they can't accumulate. It means that they can't be used for an alternative purpose other than that which is set forth.
That was one of the part you've had discussion about tonight, where you've argued about we're going to be robe, I guess, and just about whatever we want. But we have a liaison that we have to go through, and any appropriations we want to spend have to be approved by this committee. If our liaison doesn't approve them or does approve them, he takes them up higher to you people, and you people have to make that decision. So this money is well protected. It cannot be spent without the approval of the committee here.
Just to be very precise on the word, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Matt.
Right.
The proposed change would be this fund may be used for purposes. And the question is, if it read may be used for purposes XYZ, does that mean it may also be used for other purposes? Which word?
I guess my question is the intent to allow it to be used for purposes other than those listed here?
I think the intent is, because this is a special reserve, the public may have made donations to the museum, we put it in a special reserve, that the township doesn't come next year and say, we're running a little short, we'd like to buy a snowplow. Right. You know, the issue is that money can only be used for items related to the museum, and I think that's why I defer it as a legal matter, whether may be used for those or shall be used for those protects the use.
If at one point in time you all say, you don't have enough funds, so you will or shall cover the expenses of the museum. That is not what this particular fund was set up to do. It was set up to supplement materials that we want for the museum, not asking the total taxpayers to make payments to it only people who were willing to donate funds towards that.
I'd point you to point item B. Funds in this account may not be used for any other township expenses without the consent of a majority of the historian committee. So to me, it's the funds shall be used for these purposes, but they can't be used for even those purposes without a majority vote of the historian committee.
Mr. Peterson just pointed out funds can be taken in and out of any particular.
That's because their budget law trumps their.
We get moved around a bit in this township too. Some of the funds.
That's why it's.
I don't know if that's true with this museum trust fund.
Well, then
I think it's a dedicated trust fund. Yeah, it's a dedicated trust fund. It's just like
Are the historians kind of opposed to improvement or maintenance of the museum? I mean, that's what they shall use the funds for.
Shall is mandatory. If in a future this committee is not here to interpret what we're saying here, that we don't have to, we may be able to use those funds. But in the future, we have another committee
sitting
up there. They will not understand that we are in agreement that, you know, we'll help out if we have to. They're allowed to come up and say, no, you shall make these payments. You shall pay the electric, fix the lights outside,
okay,
whatever.
Okay, yeah. Now I understand.
But yeah. How do they
That clarifies it.
How do they get over point B? The committee says you shall use it for maintenance, and they say, well, the majority of the historian committee is not in favor of that.
Well, I think what the concern is here is, like, say, Warren has to go there and change light bulbs, which we normally would just take out of our grounds, building grounds.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, that money is paid out of here.
My specific question, point B, if you read it, we can't send Warren to spend that money.
Without their consent.
Without their consent.
Majority.
I'm trying to protect it from both sides. We can't spend it without the majority of the historians.
This isn't saying you're responsible. This isn't saying that you're.
Well, he's saying that. I think that's the argument being proposed is that it is that we're telling them that they must.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that the term shall is equated to must, but the intent of that sentence, as written, was that these are the prescribed limits of what it can be spent on.
I see what you're saying.
The making of it mandatory to get into that situation where there is something needed out there or perceived need by the township as opposed to the historians, that they're compelled to spend it.
So if may is a better word, I'm just trying to – it's a legal question.
Here's the problem is now we're talking about – we have – that also goes in the direction that if we say it may be used for those purposes, it leaves open the door that it can be used for other purposes also.
Exactly.
The intent of the sentence is not to say that the spending is compulsory.
Right.
It's to say that the uses of the spending are prescribed by the language that comes after the term shall.
So does the word shall only be, does that clarify it or?
No, I don't think it does from their perspective, if I understand the argument correctly, and I believe I'm starting to, which is that whether the expenditure is required, I think, is the issue here.
What about this fund shall subject to the approval in B?
Or it's supplemental.
Yeah, I think you have that in B. Again, I think if you read it in totality, the provision in totality that is spoken for.
What is B?
Yeah, but B.
B right forward. Funds.
That's
a
missing
total different his point.
Basket of apples.
Yeah
it's missing.
No, not really.
Yes, it is.
Well, here, it is.
I'll read it and let's see if we can understand it. It may also be used for the operation, maintenance, or acquisition of other. So we're talking about something that doesn't even relate to the museum. It's talking about other acquisitions.
No,
maybe.
Funds in this account may not be used for any other township expenses without the consent of a majority of the historian committee is B.
That's B. Below
I'm talking about the next sentence down, but you're talking about that.
B.
It's still not going to matter.
Wait a minute. What about if we clarify the language that this museum trust fund is a supplemental account? In other words, you're not using this to pay all their expenses and make them responsible for it. But if you word it the right way, then it becomes clear that the township is paying and that this is your trust fund to be used for the purposes that are
mentioned. The way I'm reading it right now is if you really, if you're not the committee, next committee becomes the board, they look at this ordinance and they say, oh, yes, we can save money here. You shall pay certain bills.
See, I don't like that. That's, not what I would interpret the sentence.
Expenditures from this fund will be proposed by the historian committee. It can't be proposed by this committee. The last sentence in that same section.
And we're also, we're not going to be the only ones on this committee. Someday it will change.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And the way this reads, they may understand they have no choice.
And that I look to
the CFO,
professional,
the trust fund is set up.
I look to the professional attorney to tell us, could that be misinterpreted?
Well, I can't speak to somebody's perception of it, but it says expenditures will be proposed by the historian committee. So the spending can't originate. It can't be a decision by township committee to say we're going to landscape the surroundings and we're going to deem it as part of restore whatever. We're going to say it's associated. They don't have a say. It may cost $10,000.
Right.
They may say we'll plant the flowers ourselves, or we'll deal without it. Right. The spending has to be proposed. Expenditures from this fund will be proposed by the historian committee.
We may propose it, but you have the authority to deny it.
Correct.
That's correct.
So who has control of the?
It's a check and balance.
Why? I feel we're being double checked here because we're. If it's our money to start with, we should have say over it.
Well,
complete say.
I mean, to be clear, it's the taxpayers' money.
No, sir, it's not.
Once it's donated as township property, it's taxpayer.
It's donated to the museum.
The residents own it. And who owns the museum?
In that case, we can remove that word shall, because you should be making all payments on any expenditure we have.
It's dedicated by right, but it's not.
And now I think you're going back.
Right.
Yeah. No, I disagree with that word shell, and I will for a while.
And
most of the people on our committee disagree with it.
Unless there's any specific guidance from the attorney, I think we hear your concern, and I think after we close public comment, we'll make sure we get a committee vote on how we would address that word. Because I don't think we're making any more progress right now.
Not on that one, no.
Right.
Okay, I'd like to get on to articles. Under still museum trust fund. Number C.
Yep.
Says donations made to the Squire Point of Lebanon Township Incorporated and designated for a specific historical use or monies received from funds raising events of the Squire Point Historian of Lebanon Township Incorporated will not be put into reserves for a museum trust fund.
Yep.
I don't even know why that's there.
I think for
clarification.
For full transparency, and I think a solution to the concern, I think the concern is that it's singling out one entity. Further up in E above, we highlight that an example of such a private group would be the Squires Point Historians. I think if we follow that concept of Squires Point being an example. So if we said donations made to independent or to private groups, an example of which would be Squires, or maybe I'm looking for whether we have to say private groups.
Say it like it said here on the E.
Exactly. We pick up the language from E to sort of define the private groups, an example of which would be Squires Point or such as.
Right.
Private groups such as.
What I'm looking at is other organizations maybe teaming up with us or others to provide funds for the museum, but now we're
picking
on that.
I think
it has to be broader.
Yeah. I think Squires Point is one example of organizations that may exist. I think that's
an example.
A good correction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this clarifies monies where it goes, so it doesn't go into that reserve museum donation fund. That can specifically go to a project. And I think that's where the museum donation fund would... It's a totally two different entities.
Yeah.
Because that is managed by the Squires Point Historians, which is a private 501c.
Correct. Right.
And the point is there could be others as well, so why are we highlighting that one? So I think
right.
That's,
yeah.
that's like a change. We'll find the right words in them.
Now, I'm not quite sure what you all were talking about in the beginning here, what Beth had brought up. But the committee as it sits right now, we have a liaison. If we're going to spend any money or propose to spend anything, we're going to at least contact our liaison. He or she is going to tell us whether we can or can't. And if you're going to restrict us on, you know, say pamphlets or stuff like that, just making stuff up to hand out, you're killing anyone.
Well, we struck the language.
It shouldn't even be brought up.
The whole point is to have a conversation, and that's what we do here. Is we debate the thoughts and bring up people's points. If we can't bring up a topic and discuss it, then what's the point of this?
Yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder that.
And I have an obligation to, well, we all do, to protect the township. And the example I brought up, if you were to send something out on township letterhead that we didn't see or approve, and it went out to all the residents and caused a big hoopla, or there were legal problems with it, that's my example.
Township committee meeting. This is what we're supposed to discuss.
That's why I go to my liaison. That's why he or she reviews everything we do.
There were five of us.
Well, now to keep it on topic, I think the ordinance we decided earlier to take that discussion into policy rather than ordinance. So
I think I'm pretty much through here. I just want you to trust that we will always spend our money with the best intentions.
I don't think that's ever been
questioned.
No.
Best intentions, and hoping we will work with the township as such.
Yeah. And you can't take this as like an insult to you. We have to think about how a committee here today, tomorrow, 10 years, 20 years, and your committee.
Exactly.
You may not be there 10 years from now, and we have to make sure we think about all these things moving forward and make them as broad and restrictive. There's two sides of that coin.
Right? Yeah.
No.
So we're gonna
work it.
Thank you. Any other public comments on ordinance 2018-10?
I'm good.
Public comments.
Oh, public. She's the public.
I didn't have the paper when you were doing it. The one that you changed on powers. Can you just explain it? I thought the intent of that, how I read it, was that we're only managing what goes on at the museum. That Karen manages the employee. Like, we can't tell. I thought that was the intent of that.
That's correct. I think what came up, if you don't mind, was the idea that we've set it up that the historians work in partnership with the curator.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't see the first time through that Bev brought up was, what if there's a disagreement? What if you get deadlocked into a position, the historians on one side, the curator on the other side? How do we resolve that deadlock? So we've addressed that to say that comes to the township committee to break the tie, so to speak.
Okay.
So that's,
I just didn't understand what you were saying.
That's what's been added there.
Okay. And I just feel coming to the committee, we do more things that we're supposed to do than other committees, and that one on...
You all say that. You all say that. It doesn't matter which committee. You all think that.
We had a discussion on doing things without asking the committee. If I didn't come to this committee, I would never have asked to submit that survey. I was very offended it wasn't passed.
Okay. Any other comments on ordinance 2018-10? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So this time the committee can discuss the changes that have been proposed by the public. I guess I'll ask the attorney, do you have any final comments on that the first discussion about this fund shall be used? I don't want to isolate it to just shall versus may, if you think there should be other wording around it.
If you change that, you're going to have to re-advertise it. That's clear.
Shall and may.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a substantive change that...
Separate from that.
Whether it be a single word or not, it's so substantive it would require re-advertisement.
So separate from that.
Again, this is the I understand the argument more clearly that... the compulsory nature of the spending is the question. The way that it reads is a restriction on the uses of the funding. Doesn't speak to the compulsory nature. If committee, it's committee's choice, right, if they want to. I don't know that.
But we
again
still
reading in its totality, that the spend within the same paragraph, not even in a separate section,
yeah,
is that the expenditures must begin with the historian committee.
Right.
Therefore, if it does not, there can't be. There's no compulsion to spend it. The solution to say that it may be used for purposes is I don't believe solves the issue that was raised.
I didn't. To me, I haven't been able to think of a better check or balance. This was discussed in the historians committee weeks ago. I've been thinking a lot about that. To me, it by having shall, it prevents any future committee from buying snowplows with that fund. By having the proposal to spend it start with the historian committee.
I believe that's also already explicitly in the nature of a reserve for the museum trust fund, and that you couldn't do that anyway, but agreed. The sentence as it reads doesn't make the paragraph as it reads doesn't make it compulsory and take out the authority of the historians committee to have a voice in which items that fall under that it should be spent on, or when that expenditures can occur or
what
must
about,
occur.
What about if it was something like this fund shall only be used to supplement the operation improvement, or like to make it look like it's not the responsibility's not on them, it's supplemental to the township's piece, but you keep the word shall
as a reaction.
Yeah.
What I envision is I don't want it to be overly constrained. When I mm-hmm. see supplement, that means there has to be some matching.
Yeah.
I can envision mm-hmm. a scenario where the energy receipt tax goes away. We're under huge budgetary problems. We ask the museum, the historians, to say, if you want to keep it open, use your trust fund.
You're right.
To pay the electric bill.
Mm.
And they're allowed to do that without supplement.
That's
what I have in mind. But at the same time, the committee can't force them to do it. They're the historians. They have a judgment on how to spend that money. So I can say that I personally haven't come up with a better thought.
Yeah. I think the CF, I'm not putting you on the spot, Greg, but it's a trust fund. You know when trust funds are set up. Aren't they set up for certain purposes?
We looked and there's no documentation establishing this trust fund.
So they could buy a
snowplow. It's a clear fund. Right now, this ordinance is meant to establish that. That's part of the reason we're bringing this forward now.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. I think it's, Ness seen it. I know what his concern is, but it describes where the monies can be used, and it's locking it down so the historians they have the voice to say it can be used there. And again, we almost reiterate that in B.
Mm.
I think it's locked up as best we can lock it up.
I'm trying to decide on this point whether we have a consensus, whether we'd like to take a vote, if someone wants to make a motion on either keeping the language, or I think the motion would be on the advice of council to withdraw this version of the ordinance and rework this section.
I don't know what the better wording would be.
I've thought about it more than just tonight. I don't have
I don't know what the better wording would be.
To me, it's the check and balance.
Yeah.
I feel there's enough check and balances throughout this, referring to the historian committee, that the word shall may scare you because you think we may use monies for what we don't intend to. But as Mike brought up, in an emergency situation, I believe that this committee should be able to make a decision if they had to.
You didn't ask us
before. Because what an emergency situation is,
Funding is low.
Yeah.
And we need to do something.
That's yours now.
You got to reopen the hearing.
This is an internal conversation.
So unless anyone has a motion to scratch this wording, I think we'll take that as moving forward with the existing wording. Yeah,
I don't see it any better. I think it's as good as we can make it. I don't really see. I think if we open it up, it's opening it up way too big.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see it be, in this case, to lock. I'd rather see it be, lack of better words, cumbersome to get the money to prevent it from being abused.
That's my
thought. That's how I feel. So then we only have the other one, the language. And
so then we have C.
Yeah, that we have to kind of...
I assume, Matt, do we need to have the exact wording? Because I think conceptually we were all...
I thought the proposal was the donations made to Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township or other private groups,
institutions,
or individuals.
I think it was even a little broader than that. If we go to E...
Right, that's...
If we said donations made to... private groups, institutions, individuals within the Township of Lebanon in accordance with the purposes of this ordinance, an example of which of such private group would be Squires Point, comma, and designated for specific, then it continues on. But just to pick up that language of the type of entity that might get donations, an example of which is Squires Point.
So you want to mirror the language.
Mirror the language of E, since we've already got that in here.
All right.
Does that need to be his substantial?
It's just reiterating or it's not conceptually changing the impact of the intent of the ordinance.
And is there consensus to make that change?
Yes, that makes sense. It allows it more open on that side.
So then are we... Tell me, are we at a point where we could entertain a motion to adopt the resolution, adopt the ordinance 2018-10 as modified in this discussion, and the minutes reflect that?
I would say you would move to amend, vote on the amendment.
Okay.
And then I would advise to reopen only on the amendment. To allow anybody from the public to speak to that before you vote on the ordinance as a whole.
Okay. So the two amendments that we've made in this session are in the Museum Trust Fund under number A. Well, we didn't amend that. That's not
correct.
Right.
That's
amended. The only amendment, to my recollection, is in C.
Right.
Yep.
To mirror the language from point E above. Describing powers E.
Do you have that, Karen?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I do.
So is there a motion to accept that amendment? Is that to make that amendment?
I'll make the motion then to make that amendment to see that to mirror the example put in powers E section.
Okay, yeah, to define private groups. I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 I would reopen to the public.
So the committee has a draft.
On the content of the amendment that was just made.
Okay. Is there a motion to open to public comment limited to discussion of the Museum Trust Point C as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing no comments,
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Pro call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And now I think we're at a point to entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2018-10 as amended this evening.
Good.
Unless there's any further discussion.
No. I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-10 as amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 2018-10, creating the historian committee as amended, has been adopted. So now we have one more ordinance tonight, which I don't.
Before has so many done so much. So
confused. We have before us Ordinance 2018-11, an ordinance amending Chapter 72 of the Township Ordinance for the related to personnel policies. This ordinance is to incorporate a new sick leave policy recently passed by the state of New Jersey, specifically creating sick leave benefits for part-time employees. There are no amendments to this agenda. This is the motion to be open a public hearing on ordinance number 2018-11. Is there a motion?
To open to public comment?
Open a public hearing.
Oh, open to public hearing on, yeah. I'll make a motion to open a public hearing on ordinance 2018-11, an ordinance amending Chapter 72, Section 72-6B of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
If any member of the public would have a comment on Ordinance 2018-11, which has been published in the press, it was introduced in the last meeting 3 weeks ago. Seeing no public comment, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
At this time, unless there's any further discussion from the committee, we could entertain a motion to adopt resolution Ordinance 2018-11.
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-11.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're on to resolutions. The first resolution, Resolution 74-2018, urging the full funding of the Energy Receipts Tax Property Relief Act through passage of ACR 176, the topic discussed in detail with Assemblyman Peterson. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion to adopt Resolution 74-2018?
You brought it forward. Why don't the mayor make it?
You brought
it to everybody's light. I think it's appropriate for you to make that motion.
I will make a motion to adopt Resolution 74-2018, urging the state legislature and governor to pass ACR 176.
I'll second.
I think Mark should second it.
Too late.
She seconded it.
I beat him to it.
Yes.
Roll call.
Yes.
Next item of business is Resolution 75-2018, authorizing the authorizing the services of a qualified purchasing agent. For some background, this would create an agreement between Lebanon Township and Holland Township. Holland Township has a so-called qualified purchasing agent. In municipal purchasing, without a qualified purchasing agent, the township has a bid threshold of $17,500. And if we need to purchase something for a greater amount, we have to put that out to sealed bid. If we retain a qualified purchasing agent, the next resolution potentially would be to name that agent and to raise the township's bid threshold to $40,000, which would allow us direct negotiations with potential contractors to accomplish work. Coming shortly after that is a proposal to replace the municipal doors, which you may notice when you go through are in need of replacement. So Holland Township has a qualified purchasing agent. They have offered us the possibility to enter into a 14-month agreement from now through the end of 2019 at a fee of $2,000 for the services of the qualified purchasing agent. That is less than half of the fee that Holland Township pays. There's no restriction on the amount of time and discussion we can have with this qualified purchasing agent. In talking to our building and DPW department, we could imagine a couple of projects exceeding the bid threshold next year, but also talking to other, and our CFO works with the qualified purchasing agent in another town. Mm-hmm. There are opportunities to get better pricing, get better purchasing decisions for smaller projects as well. So we have before us Resolution 75-2018, authorizing the services of a qualified purchasing agent. Is there a discussion?
Well, we're essentially more than doubling our powers. Is it really going to save us money?
I'd like to see us not have too much power to spend money. When we get to the details of the door, it saved us more than $2,000 on the door situation.
And plus it would save on posting for bidding. And
that's
and
the point. All the legal fees, all the... Legal fees.
I just wanted to clarify that.
So any further discussion or motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 75-2018. Authorizing the services of qualifying purchasing agent.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So then, since that resolution passed, the township would now appoint a qualified purchasing agent, Mr. William Hance. He is qualified as a CFO of Watchung. He's also a qualified purchasing agent through shared services agreement in other towns, including Flemington. And this resolution would also increase the township's bid threshold to $40,000. Any discussion on Resolution 76-2018 or a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution 76-2018 to appoint a qualified purchasing agent.
I'll second.
Should we say William Hance as our qualified purchasing agent?
No, okay, I can say appoint a qualified purchasing agent, William Hance, as our qualified purchasing agent.
I'll second.
And to raise the bid threshold.
To raise the bid threshold to $40,000.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Thank you very much. So now we are on to a proposal to replace the meeting room, the double doors, and the reception door aesthetically from the outside. Then the doors would all have the same look and feel. You've received in prior correspondence. Well, let me back up. In a prior meeting, the committee has reviewed different alternatives, different types of doors, and the direction of the committee was to pursue a door similar to an Anderson E-Series extruded aluminum exterior wood interior of a look where the double doors would be replaced by a single door that is 42 inches wide, 3 feet 6 inches wide, and two side lights, larger side lights than the side lights that are there now. The reception door would be replaced with a 3-foot door and a side light, the side light to the left near the current deputy clerk's office to create a little more space in and out. So that was the direction given by the committee in terms of the style of the doors to pursue. Warren, our DPW supervisor, went to a state contract company that we've used before that we've had good service from, and they gave us a state-qualified bid to replace those two doors, full quote number of $66,500. Separately, and this can be done with a qualified purchasing agent, obviously we've had discussions with them on a consulting basis for now, he's for free with Holland Township, it's possible for the township to directly purchase the materials, the doors. We've got a quote. We've had a quote before, but the final quote, not a final, the near final quote came in, and you have it before you. For the doors as I described, the two doors, all material, all the molding, everything around it, for a total of I know it's $21,600. $21,611.84. There may be some final adjustments as they do some final measuring going to final contract. I'm assured that the final number would not exceed $2,300. So if
$23,000.
Does this include the labor?
No, that's a separate contract. We have separately gotten, that was in your packet as well, a proposal from a contractor, Distinctive Builders Incorporated, for all the labor, paint, etc., for $12,500 to install the doors. So compared to the $66,000 state contract, which would not require a bid, doing it with these two contractors. And we've talked to a number of other contractors. Warren has been, for the past 6 months, we've talked to different people. These are the two that we would present as consideration. The doors would be replaced for a combined cost not to exceed $35,500. So the one action that I would propose to the committee would be, given that all of these contracts take a little bit of final negotiation, if the committee is comfortable that these are the doors that we've already chosen, that it's an attractive price, that subject to sign off by our QPA, which is required in any case, subject to reaching appropriate contract terms as reviewed by the township attorney, and subject to insurance being signed off by the insurance of this, of the contractor, signed off by our insurance carrier, the committee could authorize, I would offer the committee could authorize moving forward with Optike Lumber to supply the Anderson doors, Distinctive Builders to supply the
not in there.
Labor.
That's more than I would pay for me.
I know.
And subject to those details. So now, if we're going to do that, I would then follow up with a motion to select colors of doors and things which we need. But I think the first order of business would be if the committee has a discussion or is prepared to authorize moving forward to replace the doors in those terms.
Yeah, I have no discussion. I mean, it's kind of a winning operation here, the way it's going this way.
Yeah.
I think we need the doors.
Exactly. You know? They'll be blowing open soon. They'll be blowing open soon. So
they open out, right? They open out.
The new ones won't.
Yeah.
Magic doors.
So is there a motion?
Yeah, could you rephrase the whole motion? And
I would say
there's a lot to it.
I would say a motion to purchase the door materials from Optike Lumber and to retain Distinctive Builders for a combined price to install the new door project of not to exceed $35,500, subject to approval by our QPA, subject to approval by the attorney that the contract terms are fair and adequate, and subject to insurance being demonstrated by Distinctive Builders.
And the funds are available.
The funds are available. That's out of our buildings budget.
Okay.
The CFO, for the record, is nodding.
I'll make that motion as described by the mayor.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 That's how you do that.
Final two more decisions on the door project. The color samples have been floating around for the past week.
I want the red one and the white one.
Okay. So you have...
I want the one that Beverly's happy with.
We have three choices of white, of red.
Which one matches the building? Again, now you got them all mixed up.
Cinnamon Toast is the one that's been viewed to match the current doors.
What about, which one matches the building the best?
You were supposed to take notes.
I did. I thought you just went like this, and I had the...
It's going to depend on the sun, too.
Yeah.
This is the one that is currently on it, right?
The Cinnamon Toast is as close to the current color.
Yeah, and that looks good.
There have been feedback from other people.
Yeah, that looks good, and I didn't think about the interior.
Any debate on Cinnamon Toast as the color for the exterior door?
Sounds
good. That was my choice also.
Do we need a motion? Let's take it as one motion. The interior colors, factory painted, we have a choice of birch bark white, a little brighter white, or the Anderson finish white.
I want the white one.
Okay. Birch bark white.
Same texture, right?
It's on different pieces of wood, but theoretically it's the same texture. Different wood is going to take it a little differently.
All right. I think this is a lighter one. If you look at that, then I like
okay.
The
so lighter. There seems to be a motion.
Yeah. It looks dirty, the other one.
Is there a motion to specify the exterior as Cinnamon Toast and interior as birch bark white?
Make sure that's birch bark, is it for sure? Yeah, okay.
Waiting for a motion?
I'll make a motion to have the exterior door Cinnamon Toast and the interior as birch bark white.
I'll second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
I only got to get to the new business.
Yeah, eventually, 10 weeks from now.
The next item on the agenda is the professional standards and general procedures for administrative inspections. This will take some time, I believe. So the question is whether we would like to, given the hour, would we like to dive into this tonight or postpone this to another meeting?
It's no urgency.
That's why I'm thinking we've got one or two more things to deal with here.
Yeah.
It's a dense topic.
It's a dense topic. Thank you.
I mean, it's a complex topic.
Yeah, and I mean,
December
yeah.
will be here soon.
So if there's no...
The sun will be here soon? Is that what you said?
If there's no objection, we will table the professional standards discussion tonight, mm-hmm. which takes us to another purchasing question, which is the Squares Point project to put the indoor plumbing and bathroom on the museum is progressing very well. In fact, they have their rough plumbing installed. What we don't have is a septic system. The township last year had our engineer design the septic system and funded it, provided funding in a bond ordinance, so funding is available. We have in front of us. I should turn it over to you now.
Well, you can carry on.
You've coordinated proposals.
All right, so we did go out for five bids on the septic system, and one declined, and we had four bids, and two of the four qualified. The other two didn't qualify. So the first bid in front of you is from Cedar Ridge. They're located up on Route 31, and their bid for this project was $16,890. The next closest bid was from A.S. Mikowski and Sons for $17,300. It's my understanding that once we award this bid, the winning bidder will have to contact our engineer to have it staked out. The permits are in at the county, and the winning bidder will also have to reach out to the county for them to come out and look at any meets and bounds that they may want to see. So I think all the bidders are within the scope of time that it's going to take to have this done, to be able to mobilize and proceed with this as soon as we can with the weather the way it's pending. So it's up to this committee how they feel on this. The bids in front of you, I'm sure you reviewed them. So we're looking for a motion on these two qualifying bids, which one the committee thinks will be the right bid.
The only thing I would add to that is I think the motion needs, again, to be contingent on a contract drafted by the attorney. That mm-hmm. some payment terms need to be modified, but
right.
I think otherwise it's I don't see any reason not to take the low bid on a septic install.
Both of them contain an alternative, so we just need to clarify which option.
With the pipe?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer behind that, there's a. Unless you want to go into that. The alternative was the septic system will be at the far end of the property, partly driven by the fact that it has to be 100 feet from the well. A decade or so ago, actually, the township acquired the neighboring house and property, subdivided the property to have with the museum, with the thought that there could be a parking lot or a school bus turnaround situation. So the designers put in a $400, well, the use of Schedule 80 pipe in case it gets driven over instead of Schedule 40.
Beforehand,
no. One of the alternatives was it costs $400 less to use the Schedule 40 pipe instead of the Schedule 80 pipe. So that is the alternative, whether the township thinks Schedule 80 is appropriate for $400 or not.
I don't see any reason why to take it out, $400.
I didn't either. Yeah, the other comment is that There's differing verbiage about payment scheduling. I mean, the payments will be made in accordance with our payment procedures and how we approve payments. We can't alter our
right.
I mean, we're not going anywhere.
Right. That's what I meant. Subject to a contract.
I just want to be clear that we're not going to front load any of this. It'll be paid in our standard course of business.
Yep. Which would be 100% at completion, subject to committee approval process.
Right, once it get on the bill list, it'll get voted on and get paid.
My only question was the spec for Schedule 80 pipe from the engineer?
The engineer gave the alternative.
They gave the alternative. Yes.
That's why all the bids give it an alternative for that.
Well, I noticed that. Yeah,
yeah, that's because Steve Reese ran the.
Yeah, it's included in his, the last page, 40 versus 80.
Just making sure we're following the plan.
Any other discussion?
Not from me.
Motion.
Then I'll make a motion to approve the low bidder Cedar Ridge with the price of $16,890 and not taking the deduct for the Schedule 80 to retain the Schedule 80 pipe. I think that's all I need to say.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. On the agenda, the next item is Little Brook Lane Association. My understanding is that there's no...
Didn't come in. We spoke earlier this afternoon and again this evening. It would be more appropriate for me to report in closed.
Okay.
I anticipate by our next meeting we should be in position to take formal action.
Okay, so we'll defer that discussion to executive session.
Yeah, I think it will be more appropriate.
Okay, then on to new business. The reason our CFO has been here tonight is...
I can't imagine. I haven't been here in months.
So we're getting our money's worth tonight. So, over to you for the state best practices worksheet.
I distributed the worksheets last week in your boxes. I was just hoping that everybody had a chance to look at it. This is something that we have to do. I believe that the answers that we've provided are, you know, the best fit for the town. It doesn't result in us losing any of our state aid this year. And if there's any specific question that a committee member has on any of the questions, we can talk about it. If change is warranted, I can make it. But otherwise, we want to transmit by tomorrow because it's due on the 12th.
Were the questions the same as last year? Or did you?
No, last year there were only 25 questions. This year they upped it to 61 questions, and then there were an optional 25 questions more that didn't apply to us.
Anything that stuck out to you? Or
hybrid vehicles. What else stuck
pay
out?
Pay to play.
Pay to play?
Yeah, local pay to play.
You know. In the previous administration, when it started out, there were more questions. So then they had pared it down. Every year it seemed to go down a little bit, with last year being the lowest. So,
yeah. As I understand it, the exercises that you're informing us of it, you're certifying this questionnaire, and we are not taking action on it.
Right.
This is our exercise to inform
us. It has to be brought before the council or the committee.
I think maybe just to highlight your information, we have, 92% yes answers.
Well, 92% yes or prospective or...
Excluding non-applicable categories.
And any areas for improvement in that 8%, is it just...
The hybrid.
Hybrid vehicles. I don't know if we can do that, but...
And the other one was the local pay-to-play ordinance.
Yeah. Okay. As long as we're getting over the number that we have to get over, I'm happy.
Okay.
I just
not getting dinged.
And not getting dinged for anything. I'm just looking for my number again.
All joking aside, just the hybrid vehicle you're talking about, one of our no's is, does your municipality buy hybrid vehicles in all cases except where no hybrid is available that meets the municipality's needs? We discussed that a little bit.
Right.
I think that could easily be yes, because I'm not sure a hybrid vehicle meets the needs of our municipality purchasing.
Yeah.
So, but it is no, and we're still at 92%. So I have no concerns to discuss.
If it makes the mayor happy, I'll change that.
I'm not asking you.
Question tomorrow, and then I'll transmit it.
Okay.
I just want to get it done. So,
is there any other discussion?
Nope.
No.
And since no action is required, we'll move on to the next. Okay. You're welcome to join us.
You've been here so far.
Yeah.
No, I'm going home, guys.
Don't
look up. It was a pleasure. Way, I have to tell you.
Don't get hit by the gray
bar.
Car.
You're right there.
So the next item on our agenda, last week or so, we received a letter of resignation from our tax assessor indicating that her last day of employment with the township would be December 1st, 2018. She truly appreciates the opportunity we've given her and thanks her for our support. She has offered to help with a transition. That would require, if there's a motion to accept her resignation, that we would agree to hire her on a per diem basis at the terms in her existing agreement. So is there a motion to accept her resignation with the potential to hire her for a per diem? For example, if she comes in one day, we hire a new tax assessor, she would come in for a half day a day to transition files, explain how things work.
Oh, transitioning. That's what, yeah, just yeah.
And it's on our discretion on the per diem when she comes in. But in her existing contract, there's a formula that can tell us hourly how much we would pay, so we would allow her to come in. I believe it's a technical issue given that she's an appointed position, but we would bring her in on the payroll after her resignation on a per diem basis. I
have concern if we're going to bring her in an official capacity, that even in a very limited basis, that we be covered so that there be some formal acknowledgement of that relationship, just so we don't have a casual employee type situation.
Is this time bound? Is it a time bound per diem, or is this an ongoing per diem?
No, it's at our discretion on a case, day by day basis. It doesn't give the employee the right to say that they deserve hours or have hours coming.
What I'm going for is, like, this is a transition. Once the new person takes over, is it at our discretion to keep calling her back in when we need help, or
and her discretion to be able to come? Is there a motion to accept Laura Whitaker's resignation and to potentially hire her on a per diem basis under her existing employment agreement, the terms of her existing employment agreement?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. And we thank Laura Whitaker for her work over the last year and a half or so. The next is to approve advertising for a new tax assessor. My understanding, and I think the clerks as well, is that the one place to advertise where all the professional tax assessors, qualified tax assessors, would find it is in the League of Municipalities. So we would adjust the draft from a year and a half or so ago. If there's a motion to approve advertising for the tax assessor position, I would also just highlight the committee needs to discuss some of the terms of employing a new tax assessor, and I would suggest we do that in executive session later tonight. So this is merely to authorize advertising for the position.
I'll make a motion to approve advertising for the assessor position.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is the Township Historians. Would you like to?
Sure. Last meeting, Lori Hoffman had sent me an email about a program that her and Maria went to on a training to archive township possessions, and they've come across this CAPES survey, which is Caucus or Archival Projects Evaluation Services, and they offer a free professional assessment by consultants from the New Jersey Caucus of Historical Paper Collection. So they would like, this is not a cost to the township, and they would like to have us authorize that they get in touch with these folks and apply for this survey, which will open up them to the ability to have some grant money to help them along the way. So I'm sorry about the delay on this, but I think it's a good idea if we can help the historians out with this.
Is there a motion to approve the historians applying for the CAPES free professional assessment.
I'll make that motion. So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is a motion, the third Wednesday in November, when the next meeting of this committee would take place, is on November 21st, which is the Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving. We've been waiting till today, and we don't see right now urgent business that would need to be conducted on that Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving, so the proposal would be to cancel the November 21st meeting. Is there a motion to cancel the November 21st meeting?
I'll make a motion to cancel the November 21st meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the raffle application that's deferred, postponed. There were some technical issues that it's not ready for discussion tonight.
Not in the packet.
Next is the presentation of vouchers. Which, for those who don't attend, we read out the vouchers of $1,000 or more, and then at the end we have a motion to approve the voucher list.
I got a couple that qualify: DPW, C&M Auto Parts, in the amount of $1,456.88. Griffith Allied Trucking, which is diesel fuel, amount of $1,473.50. And Performance Tire, in the amount of $1,810 even. That's all.
I have two that qualified. One is for Gephardt and Kiefer for their general September 2008 services for $1,833. I also have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer that dates back to April of this year, and this is for Mount Laurel decision and services that they rendered, and it was a decision on what funding it should come out of, so it came out of our COA Housing Trust Fund. And the amount of this is $2,704.50.
I have our JCP&L master account for October, $1,137.31. Rogan and McCarthy, that's our bond council. These are the fees for rolling over our bond anticipation notes, as well as the capital ordinance that was prepared earlier this year, $2,185.64. Van Cleef Engineering, this is a progress payment on conversion of the township's tax maps in preparation for the revaluation next year. This payment is $4,219.50. New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for active and to retired employees, total of $37,319.76. Cooperative Communications, $1,048.99. And the Cornerstone Printing for the fall newsletter. And the full newsletter mailing, total of $2,378.45. Our payment, where we collect taxes and pay it then to the county of Hunterdon, $744,123.54 for the fourth quarter that we transfer, and for the open space tax that we transfer to the county, fourth quarter amount of $68,289.49.
I have one that applies. It's to the county of Hunterdon for the fourth quarter library tax, and it's for $71,798.61.
I have one for Warshauer Generator. This is for the maintenance agreements to cover the maintenance and remote communication to the three generators located, one at each of our firehouses, for $2,700. And I have one for Finch Fuel Oil, the municipal building and garage and squad oil, for $1,027.64.
If there's no discussion, is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I jumped the gun.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, next, some items of correspondence that have been received. The Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space Commission minutes from their July 2nd, 2018 meeting. After that, the Lebanon Township Historians, September 13th, 2018 meeting minutes. Are there any comments? Next, a letter from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection We authorized a gypsy moth survey, and the answer came back that there is no major infestation detected in our municipality from their fall gypsy moth survey, and they're not recommending any aerial treatment in the spring. The township recently made a $500 donation to Meals on Wheels, and they have sent us a thank you letter for the generous contribution. And last is the tax collector's report for the month of September. Receipts in September for year 2018, $196,476.91. Taxes toward the year 2017, $56,812.83. Taxes paid ahead for the year 2019, $4,082.28. Interest collected, $15,396.69. A tax sale premium for when the recent tax sale, $80,300. Tax sale costs $1,029.89. 2017 year-end penalty collected of $641.15. Year-end penalty interest, $83.67 for total receipts in September of $354,823.42. Any comments or discussion on the correspondence? Seeing none, is there a motion to open to public comment on any topic that any person would like to address?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if any of the member of the public would like to make a comment.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. What brought to mind was with the utilities. Some time ago, we entered a new agreement with Comcast. And at that time, I believe they were going to present us with, I believe it was $10,000 to $15,000 or $13,000 toward education. Did we ever receive that?
We don't know. Technology grant of
yes.
$20,000.
Yeah.
I don't believe we have.
Is there any way that we can follow up on it?
It's just fallen through the cracks. It's been brought up. We'll take it as an action to follow up. Make sure we follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Victor Huffman, Loving Township. Just want to congratulate Mike on his win. And when you finally get your final copy of the resolution, will a copy be made available to the historians?
The historian ordinance?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes, we'll get a copy of that.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
I think he tried to trick us by changing his shirt.
Yeah.
You noticed that? Jeez. It should be on forensic files.
Any other public comment? If not, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So the committee will now be going into executive session under Resolution 77-2018. Several matters. First, Little Brook Lane Association, a matter of attorney-client privilege will be discussed. Second of all, some personnel matters related to impending vacancies, one related to the OEM coordinator, another related to the assessor position, another related to the library position, and finally related to office filing support. Is there a motion?
Are we going to take action?
I'm not anticipating any action unless on the
not on my,
then I'm not anticipating any action tonight. So is there a motion for Resolution 77-2018 going into executive session?
I'll make a motion for Resolution 77-2018 going into executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yes.